Sorry, I'm just getting situated here. Well, all right, everybody, on three. One, two, three. It's beginning to look... Sorry. Sorry. I saw Christmas decorations like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and started having a panic attack. But my wife's birthday is December 5th, and then there's Christmas, 20 days later. And so that to say, of course, I've already taken care of it. pray for me. no, just kidding. Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Tony. I'm the worship leader and associate pastor here at the River. If you're visiting, welcome. We actually, if you would like to check out just kind of who we are and what we're about, after service today, there is going to be a New to the River gathering up in the loft. Just a quick 15-minute thing about who we are, what we're about, and we have a gift for you if you're visiting. So please join us if you'd like to check out who we are and you're visiting here. So, but if you have your Bibles, we're continuing our series last week called Heroes of the Faith. You can turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Actually, before I start that, last week a need came up. Our missionary that we support, Wesley Sanchez from Guatemala, there's a family in their church. The husband passed away, and so a widow with I don't know how many kids she has, but there was 7 kids. There was a need where she didn't have a way to collect fresh water and the reservoir up there. And we put the word out last week. If we could raise $1,500, we would be able to... Surprise. No, but just kidding. If we could raise $1,500, we'd be able to pour a slab and get everything that they needed to take care of that for them. And Rand, if you want to put that up, we were able to raise last week $1,958 and meet that need in Guatemala. It's a week, 7 days. Come on, look at that. Look at that. This is the body of Christ in movement. That's your guys' fruit. Come on. Can we just thank the Lord for that? Amen. The book of James says, true religion is caring for orphans and widows. Come on. That's amazing. Sharing the love of Christ in a practical way. As we're connected to the body of Christ. Amen. And I'll just give that asterisk. Connect yourself to the body of Christ. There's she was part of their church in Guatemala, and the need went out, and the body of Christ was able to rally around and see that need and really provide. So, amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 in Hebrews chapter 11. Then we're going to skip what... we talked about last week. I always want to say Dad or Pastor Steve or Pastor Steve Dad. So we're going to skip Abel. But verse 1 says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendations. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Skipping down to verse 5, and this is what we're talking about this week. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy that's new this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're a good shepherd, that you lead us and we want for nothing when we're in your presence, Lord. You completely satisfy us with everything that we need. Lord, your word says that we have everything we need for life and godliness, and Lord, you provide it as a loving father. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to what your word has for us this morning, and I pray that you would give me the words to speak by your spirit. Lord, that they would be your words and that would be building up for the body of Christ this morning, Lord. We just love you and we ask that you would be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So, we're kind of dabbling into obscurity this morning. Hero of the faith is Enoch. What do we know about Enoch? He's taken up. He's faithful. That's good. There are five occurrences that Enoch shows up in the Bible. To give you some perspective, David shows up almost like 10,000 times. Something like that. Enoch shows up five times in the Bible. And it might be 1,000 times, David, but indirectly, it's probably more than that. But whether directly or indirectly, whether talking directly about Enoch or loosely associating something that has to do with him, five times in all of Scripture, 66 books, only five times. Three out of those five times, genealogies. Basically saying, Jared was Enoch's dad, and Enoch had a son named Methuselah. And that's it. Of the other two, one of them refers to something that he said in the book of Jude. It has nothing to do with him, just something that he said. And the other one that gives us information about him is Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis talks, gives us information about him as well, and we're going to go there. But five times, pretty obscure character. Here's the deal. What do we know about Jane Barbie? Anybody? Trick question? This is Trivial Pursuit. This is like the ace up your sleeve here. Does anybody know who Jane Barbie is? Here, ready? We're sorry. The number you have dialed is no longer in service. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. Now you all know who Jane Barbie is. Do you know Jane Barbie? Come on, show of hands. Like, we know Jane Barbie. But you don't know Jane Barbie. Here's another one. Who knows who Susan Bennett is? Raise your hand. Shh. Anybody? You say? Siri. The person you're constantly mad at because they're not taking you to the right place. Siri, call me an ambulance. Okay, I'll call you an ambulance. You're an ambulance. See, these are immensely famous people that are shrouded in obscurity. People that almost everyone knows, all right? Almost everyone has at least heard of. Yet, we really know almost nothing about them. They're extremely famous, but completely anonymous. So, here's another question. How do you please God? Yes. What does it take to worship him? Faith. Without what, it's impossible to please God. Now you know Enoch. We quote that verse, we read it just a little bit ago, Hebrews 11:6. It is our blueprint for how we please God, and it is the testimony of Enoch's life. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him." That's taken out of context, that verse still works. Because it's one of those rare ones where you can totally take it out of context and it works. Because it's true. And not rare. That happens a lot in Scripture. But you need to know the context. In context, it's a testimony of Enoch's life. Enoch, although mentioned five times in the Bible, directly and indirectly, although only directly mentioned twice with information about his life, he gives us the blueprint for how to please God and how to approach him in faith. There are only 13 verses in the entire Bible of those five occurrences that have to do with Enoch. And he set the standard that we all follow. Isn't that amazing? So, Enoch is that guy. That guy. Now you know who Jane Barbie is. Now you know who Susan Bennett is. And we're going to find out about Enoch today. So I want to look at Enoch's life and find out what makes him a hero of the faith. And as we observe the way he conducted himself and how he was commended by God, it's my prayer that we'd be able to take these same principles and walk them out in our own life. Amen? So first, who's Enoch? Based on the information we have, going back, Genesis 5, 21 through 24 says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he'd fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and he fathered Methuselah Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So who is Enoch? I put some things up there. Enoch is the seventh generation of Adam. When he was born, Adam lived to be 930 years old. When Enoch was born, by the math in Genesis 5, Adam was about 600-something years old. So Adam, like the Adam, the guy from Genesis 1, was alive for another 300-something years when Enoch was born. And Enoch only lived to be 365 years old. So in theory, I don't know, it doesn't say, but maybe they talked to each other. Maybe they knew the story. Maybe they were well informed of the paradise that was lost. Enoch's name means dedicated. By the way, Enoch is Noah's great-grandfather. Enoch's name means dedicated. Genesis chapter 5 tells us that he lived 365 years old, and that after his son was born, he faithfully walked with God for 300 years. America hasn't even been a country for 300 years. How's your devotional life? Lastly, it says that because of his faith, he pleased God and God took him, bypassing death itself. That only happened to one other person in Scripture. Who was it? Elijah. He was taken up. Chariots of Fire. With the theme song. Just kidding. So this morning I want to look at three practical things that we can learn from Enoch's very supernatural life. Amen? So the first one, I'll put it up there, and I just want to keep it short and sweet. There's not much information about Enoch, and that's not why I want to keep it short and sweet. But when you have a back room full of paint, and you have 30 gallons of paint, what good is it if you don't put any of that on your wall? But if you have one can and you actually apply that, what's going to make the difference? Application. A fellow Tony. Application makes all the difference. So let's look at some things that we can apply. Amen? The first thing that we can learn from Enoch's life was short but significant. And your life, no matter how it looks, no matter how much influence you have, matters. Amen. Genesis 5:23, very short verse, says, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So how do we get that our lives matter by the fact that Enoch lived 365 years? Is there some kind of like symbolism in every day of the month, every day of the year, no, there's not. It's not that deep. At 365 years old, Enoch was a baby compared to the other patriarchs before Noah. Enoch was extremely young. Like I said, Adam lived to be 930. Noah, when he died, Noah was the last of the patriarchs to live the super, super long life. Noah lived to be 950. Enoch's son, Methuselah, lived to be 969 years old, and he was the oldest of all of them. People lived a really, really long time before the flood, and actually after the flood, God told Noah that he would limit the age of man to around 120 years. And you know what's interesting is you can find scientific studies that confirm that humans generally only live to about 120 years old max. Isn't that cool? There's one lady that's like 130-something, but that is actually under investigation that she stole her mother's identity back in the day. So it's just one of those funny things that it's like the Bible is true or something. And I don't say under investigation like, we're putting this 137-year-old on trial. Like, they're just looking into it, trying to verify some records. I don't know if you could do that to a poor little lady like that. So at 365 years, he was very young. Enoch's life was extremely short, relatively speaking, but he honored God, and God honored him. And sometimes we can get into mindsets where we convince ourselves that God can't use us. We look at our situation, we look at our circumstances, and we say, I can't influence others. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have enough knowledge or experience. You name it. We disqualify ourselves all the time. All the time. But God used Enoch as a standard of faith, and he was the youngest of them all. See, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Jeremiah, Timothy, just to name a few major, major people in Scripture, all had either excuses or major circumstances working against them. All of them. Yet God used all of them in absolutely amazing ways. And what's going on in your life right now that you think, my story doesn't matter? My influence doesn't count. Voice for the kingdom of God is too quiet. It's not true. God can use you, amen? See, even Jesus, relatively speaking, by today's standards, was a failure. His ministry was only 3.5 years. That's not enough time to even get vested into a 401k at a job. And the fruit of his ministry of thousands of people, Jesus impacted thousands of people, were 11 guys. 12 guys, one of them betrayed them. By our current standards, we would call Jesus' ministry a major failure. You devoted your entire life to thousands of people, and you have 11 people, and you got betrayed in the midst of it. But, thankfully, we don't look and operate off of an earthly perspective. Amen? Come on. And when we look at our lives, when you look at your story, if you approach it with an earthly perspective, you'll see your earthly potential. And that might get you somewhere. But if you approach your life through the truth of Scripture and what God tells us about who we are, you'll approach your life from an eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. Enoch, nobody even knows much about him. And our litmus test for whether or not we're pleasing to God is the testimony of his life. Anybody could have said, Enoch, you're just a kid. You're just a 300-year-old. That's like a teenager in Adam's years. Not to mention that, but his culture that he was living in was not conducive to living a righteous lifestyle. We read just a little bit later that the culture was spiraling out of control, and God said there was so much wickedness and violence filling the earth that a chapter later he's going to wipe it out. Do you think that was, like, do you think Enoch was able to, like, go to his weekly Bible study and be like, all right, guys, we're gonna do this? No, it didn't exist. It didn't exist. But he honored God with his life, and God honored him because he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen? All the people mentioned earlier, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, all those guys, they had to exercise faith that God was going to use their lives for something eternally and not just something earthly. Amen? God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and it's up there, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened and don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, say, wherever you go. What did Jesus say before he ascended into heaven and he gave the Great Commission? I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. The same promise that God gave Joshua as he's entering the promised land, he gives us as we go about our lives for his glory. Amen? He told Timothy, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. It's not going to come easy, but you have to apply faith that God is going to use you. Amen? So Enoch was in a difficult cultural situation. He had a lot of things going against him, and although his life was relatively short, as his name implies, he remained dedicated to the Lord until the day God literally took him to heaven. And I just want to say, if you feel like you don't have much to offer, that's fine. Because you know what? In an earthly sense, it might be true. You might not. But for the kingdom of God, you have much to offer. It only took a boy with a couple fish and a couple loaves, a couple, not preacher couple, not like two is really five and three is really like 15. So not exaggerating a couple. And I say that preacher, I jest. But I mean a couple. He had a few loaves and a few fish, and God multiplied it to feed 5,000 plus people because he was willing to give it, because he was willing to offer it to God. He was willing to, as Enoch's name implies, dedicate it to the Lord. And when we dedicate our lives to the Lord, he takes our very little and makes it very much for his glory. Amen? Number two, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Invest in what matters. Invest in what matters. Do you think Jesus spent most of his time playing backgammon on the synagogue porch? Like, he went out back and he's like, guys, let's play some shuffleboard. Or do you think Jesus lived with a mission? Jesus had 3.5 years. And in John 15, I think it is, Jesus said, Father, I accomplished the plan that you sent me for. I accomplished the plan that you sent me for. Father, I did not lose one of them. I didn't lose one of them. Jesus was focused on his mission. Jesus' entire ministry was spent investing in what mattered. And the devil, oftentimes, the enemy of our souls, he's not going to knock on your door and say something crazy like, hey, do you want to go compromise your integrity and go and do all these terrible things? No. But what he will do is throw a brick through your window. And you'll spend the rest of your week fixing the brick. And then once you've fixed your broken window, he'll light your shed on fire. The what is it, the Geico commercial? She shed. Someone burnt down my she shed. The devil might burn down your she shed. And once you rebuild your she shed because you have a good insurance, you'll be driving down the road and he'll run out in front of you. And now you have to do an insurance claim because you hit the devil and you hit him with your car. And now you're distracted. And all he wants to do, he can't come at us and really compromise us big time, all the time. There are definitely times where he can throw some bait out there and we'll bite. But you know what? The devil's main tactic is to distract us and to get us off course little by little by little. If you took math class, is it math class? When we talk about percentage degrees of variation, you're trying to find the degrees within a triangle. And geometry. That's what I'm. I actually was really good at math, and I like geometry. I'm going to Bible school, so there's not much geometry. But as you're trying to find the degree, there's a variance, and if you're off by a tiny bit, when you're close to where you started, it's not that big of a deal. It's really not. The lines are even touching. But you go 10, 20 years down the road, you're miles apart. You're miles apart. And in our lives, the devil will try to put in something tiny into your life to trick you. And sometimes it might not even look different than the truth. But if you run with it, like an offense, like your pastor doesn't care about you, or that person at work is talking behind your back. Well, do you really know that? Do you? Why don't you go talk to them and find out? Why don't you not gossip about that, but you just go to the source and take care of it? Maybe it was a misunderstanding. But if you let that go, and if you let that fester in your heart, it might be a tiny thing right here, but miles down the road, it's a major chasm that you're going to have to cross. And that's why it's so important to forgive people. God actually commands us. He doesn't suggest it even. He commands us to forgive people. Because it's so important. Because it's poison for our hearts. And this is kind of off topic of Enoch. But the devil will not shipwreck your life in one night. He will come, to keep with the analogy of a shipwreck, he will be like a tiny little gremlin on the side of your boat, hitting it with a hammer until there's a teeny hole. And he'll just let that teeny hole do its thing. And soon the wood will rot, and soon you'll sink because you don't take care of it. And it started out as just this teeny tiny thing that you let the devil do in your life. Compromise is always a big deal. So, and what is awesome is God gives us this super amazing gift called repentance. And he actually charges us and makes us ambassadors of his heart and ministry in 1 Corinthians, which is the ministry of reconciling. We have been given God's ministry. What did Jesus do when he came? He reconciled us to the Father. We were lost in our sin. We couldn't save ourselves. But Jesus came to be a mediator, a middleman, to reconcile us to the Father. And in Corinthians, Jesus, God, gives us his ministry. How intimidating is that? I'm standing in my Father's pulpit this morning, but God gives you his ministry. God, Yahweh, the great I Am, the creator of heavens and earth, who breathed out the stars, gives us, not me, but you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and us, his ministry of reconciling people to him. And part of that is operating in forgiveness and good communication, and what Matthew 18 teaches us, to go to our brothers or sisters if they sinned against us. Don't let the devil distract you. Amen? Man, that was free. That wasn't even in my notes. So, but truly, it's like that is huge. That's huge. And it doesn't mean just forget about it. Sometimes people have done you really, really terribly. I know people have been molested, abused, severely wronged. And that's not okay. It's not okay. But you know what? The enemy has power in darkness. And when we can bring that hurt and that pain and those terrible things into the light of Christ, there's healing. There's restoration. There is a restoring of our hearts. God doesn't just want to reconcile us and make us justified, as in our legal debt of sin is taken care of, but he wants to reconcile us. He wants to wipe our record and then bring us into his family. He wants to adopt us. The scripture talks about that we are adopted as sons and daughters. A father, a good father, our heavenly father, heals his children's hearts. If we let him. And you know, it again, you might be 365 years old in this room. You might say to yourself, well, I was abused as a child a long time ago. There's not really hope for me to be healed. Well, is that true? Is that a world perspective, or is that a kingdom perspective? Because your world perspective might say, yeah, that's true. There's no hope. But our kingdom perspective, the truth of what God says, is yes, there is. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of healing and restoration and reconciliation. Amen? The enemy can't get you with the big stuff all the time, but he can get you with the small stuff that says you can't be healed. You can't be restored. You'll always have this little shoulder parrot of depression. It's just your burden to bear. This is just how life is. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And God paid with his life. He poured out his blood in unrecognizable gore so we could be restored. He hung naked, completely shamed before people, so our shame could be covered and forgiven and healed. I really didn't plan on going into all that, but maybe the Lord's working on your heart this morning. And I encourage you that after service, there will be people up here to pray. I would love to pray with you. Because we serve a God who heals the brokenhearted. Jesus said that the Spirit of the living God has anointed me to preach good news, to set the captives free, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. Jesus has not come to condemn us. John 3:16 and 17 says that he came to save us. He came to save us and set us free. The world stands condemned already, and the world is messed up. But Jesus came that we might be saved. Amen? It comes from investing in what really matters. Enoch invested his life in what really matters. The walking that we see Enoch walked with God, it's regarding one's conduct and the way we live our life. It's referring to a regular or consistent lifestyle, and specifically, it's not just living with God, it's living for God. We are to walk for God, not in his place, but unto him. In fact, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translates Enoch walking with God to Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. So for 300 years, Enoch lived in close devotion and relationship with God. But keep in mind the culture, again, it wasn't easy to do that. It wasn't easy to do that in that culture. And another thing that we have to keep in mind is the way that Enoch's relationship with God looked was very different than the way Adam's original relationship with God looked. Because if you look at Hebrews 11:6, which we read, Enoch walked by faith. He had to walk his relationship out with God by faith. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. In context, it implies basically that Enoch didn't experience God visibly like Adam did. Adam experienced God visibly, but because of sin and separation that that brought, Enoch's relationship with God wouldn't have been a physical, visible thing. Enoch's relationship with God was by faith. And that's what he was commended for. Not his actions of devotion, but his faith that God existed and was a rewarder. That God exists and he is a rewarder. That position of faith got Enoch commended and gave him the great privilege to cheat death and get taken by God up to heaven. Isn't that amazing? So we can invest our lives in this way too. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." God knows we have needs. God knows we have hurts. God knows we have setbacks. But if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, if we invest in what truly matters, God will take care of the rest. Amen? Chapter 6, 8 through 9 says, "For the one who sows to his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. So it matters where you invest. If you go to Joe Schmo's Nobody Knows the Interest Rate Bank and invest $100 and it's at somebody's house and he puts the money under his mattress, do you think you're going to get a return on that investment? No. We kind of do that all the time, though, with things in our lives. And there are a lot of really great things in our lives, but sometimes we put all of our treasure in them. all of it. And they just, the Bible would call that wood, hay, and stubble. And in the end, that is the stuff that gets burned up and doesn't last. The Bible tells us to invest in the things that are precious, like gold. In fact, the Bible calls our faith as precious as gold. When fire gets in touch with hay, poof, hay is gone. I have 2 3D printers, and I think they're super fun. I love gizmos. I love gadgets. But you know what? If fire hits my house, those printers are gone. They're gone. And that's it. But you know what? My family is precious. My relationship with God is precious. And if fire hits my house and I get them out, that stuff is with me. That stuff matters. And even if we perish, Paul says to live is Christ, to die is what? Gain, because we'll be with him. Isn't that amazing? Paul equates death to a win, because then we'll get to be in his presence. Enoch got to be in his presence and he didn't even die. So it matters what we invest in. After 300 years, Enoch didn't waver, he didn't give up, and it paid off. So, last thing, and we'll close with this. Enoch was taken by God and never died, and by faith, we can too. Hebrews, I'll read it again, verse 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. You get that? Before God took him up, he was commended for how he pleased God. Enoch's faith pleased God, and by his faith, God took him. He cheated death. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. And we'll close with this. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God." By grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And not your own doing, but it's a gift from God. Just like Enoch demonstrated a life of devotion and faith towards God and was taken up, when we surrender our lives to Christ, he saves us by grace through our faith and what he did on the cross. And the scripture tells us, just in the verse prior, that he seated us in heavenly places. And elsewhere in scripture, it says that death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting. We said that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right now, there's sting in death. But through faith in Christ, there's great joy. Not great joy in death, but great joy that when we die, we get to be with him. Amen? Let's just stand up, pray. Jesus made a way where there was no way. Everybody say, no way. No way. But it's true, there was no way. We could never clean up our act. And even the hurts in our souls, we could never mend those wounds. But where there was no way for us, Jesus made a way. And just like Enoch cheated death, we get to partake in the life, the abundant life that Christ paid for on the cross. And although our mortal bodies, we die, we're all going to die. You know, it said that 10 out of 10 people die, but Enoch and Elijah really kind of messed that up. So it's like 9.99999 out of 10 people die. No, but seriously, we're all going to be gone from this earth one day or another. And we need to know that your life now, no matter what it looks like, matters. And what you do with it matters. How you invest your life matters. Your choices matter. The people you hang around with matter. And some of us just need to hear that we matter. God cares. God cares for you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for us because he loved us. The Psalms say, David says that you saved me because you delighted in me. That God saves us because he delights in us. And some of us this morning need to hear that your life matters. Quit messing around. You know? And whatever side of that coin that we're on this morning, we need to do like Enoch did and live a dedicated life. We need to walk by faith and know that God exists. He's there. He is who he says he is. And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen? If we sow, the scripture tells us not to give up. Don't give up, because you'll surely reap a harvest. And I skipped it. Just Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And you can't do it on your own, so dedicate your lives to the Lord. Put your hands in his hands. Put your life in his hands, because he'll care for you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Enoch. Lord, we thank you that he lived a dedicated life. Lord, we thank you that he shows us that as we dedicate ourselves to you, as we demonstrate faith towards you, Lord, you are faithful to reward us of that seeking you. Lord, and I just pray for those who are in this room and maybe they're struggling with hurts and setbacks. Lord, situations that caught them off guard, that they never saw coming. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them that you care for them. Lord, I pray that you would show them that there is a God who is who he says he is, that he's a heavenly Father who loves his children. And then when his children ask for help, he doesn't give them garbage. He comes to their aid. Lord, we thank you that your word says that you are ever-present help in times of trouble, that we can call out to you and you hear us and you come to us and you respond to us. Jesus, we thank you that you made an invitation that anyone who is weak or weary or under a heavy burden in their heart can come to you and you will give them rest. Father, we ask that you would stir our faith this morning. Help us to invest in what matters, Lord, and help us to see that as we trust in you, not in our own strength, but in the gift of salvation that you've given to us. We can cheat death as well, and we are seated in heavenly places with you even now. Father, we ask that you would bless this week. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, and we ask that you would help us to apply this to our lives, that our lives matter, and we can invest in your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Meet someone on your way out. If you'd like to come to the New to the River, that's going to be up in the loft in just a couple minutes.